This morning's reading is taken from Matthew 39, chapter 9, verse 35 through to chapter 10, verse 8, found on 974 of the Church Bibles. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; and Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Sue. So we're now just going to think for a few moments about what those verses from the Bible mean for us. So in that reading, we heard Jesus tell his 12 disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And they're to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. What does that mean? Well, to help us with thinking about that, I've brought my fruit bowl with me from home. I carried it all the way up the hill this morning. I think some people were wondering what I was doing. So I'm wondering if, I can't tip it up too much because all the fruit will fall out, but I'm wondering if anyone would be happy to put out their hand and tell me something they can see in my fruit bowl. Yeah? Just one thing. Bananas. So there are bananas. I'm not going to hold them up because I've carefully arranged it, and if I pull the bananas out, we're just going to have fruit everywhere. So there are bananas in my fruit bowl. Anyone else like to tell me something they can see? Yeah? Oranges, yeah. So I never really know what the difference between a clementine and an easy peeler and a satsuma is, so let's go with oranges, yeah. What else? There are three other things. Yeah? Kiwi, yeah, good spot. So I've got some kiwis in there. And two more things. One, a kind of ordinary thing that you might expect to see in a fruit bowl. Another thing that's perhaps a little bit out of the ordinary in a fruit bowl. What was that? Apple. There are actually no apples in my fruit bowl. So there are some of, yes, pears. So that's the kind of more ordinary things. And then the final thing that I have in my fruit bowl, and I think technically it is a fruit, tomatoes. I put them in there just to make it look beautiful for you this morning. So why am I showing you my fruit bowl? I'm wondering, does anyone here have a fruit tree or a tomato plant or anything like that at home? If you do, happy to put up. There are a few hands that have gone up. I'm just going to put this down before I put fruit everywhere. Fruit needs to be picked at just the right time, when it's ripe or when it's nearly ripe. If you pick and eat fruit too soon, it can be a bit hard and a bit sour. If you pick and eat fruit too late, it gets all like squishy and it gets very, very sweet. So we pick fruit at just the right time, when it's ripe. If any of you do have a fruit tree at home or a tomato plant, I wonder if you find that there's suddenly a moment when all the fruit becomes ripe and you're having to check it every day to keep up with picking all the tomatoes or picking all the apples. Does that resonate with anyone? Yeah, I'm getting some thumbs up. I know some people, they have a moment, particularly if they've got an apple tree, when they've suddenly got way more apples than they know what to do with. There's a moment when all the fruit is suddenly ripe and there are way more apples than they can possibly pick and possibly turn into apple pies and apple crumbles and all sorts of apple-y kind of things. So back to what Jesus was saying about the harvest being plentiful. Jesus has been traveling around teaching and proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, when we live God's way in God's world, we can know hope and healing and meaning and purpose and freedom and life and light and joy and peace and so many other things. That's the good news of God's kingdom. And Jesus, as the Son of God, he's the bringer of all these things. All these things which the crowd back then desperately needed. They're described in the reading as being helpless. And Jesus, he's the bringer of all these good things that God's kingdom has to offer. So people need what Jesus has to offer. And the people, they're ready to hear what Jesus has to say. The harvest is plentiful. Imagine that apple tree where suddenly all the apples are ripe and you haven't got enough hands to pick them all. The harvest is plentiful. People need to hear what Jesus has had to say, But there are not enough workers. There are not enough hands to pick all the apples on the tree. So what does Jesus do? Well, he instructs his disciples to pray for more workers. If you've got too much work and you can't do it all, that's a good prayer to pray, isn't it? Pray for more workers. Now, I don't know about you, if you've ever noticed a job that needs doing, maybe at home, or maybe at work, or maybe at school, or maybe even at church, and you've assumed, or you've hoped, or perhaps you've even prayed that someone else would do it. Have you ever had that experience, seeing something that needs doing, and you kind of assume someone else will do it, or hope they'll do it, or pray that someone else will do it? I know that I have. Sometimes, if I'm honest, it's because it's not a very nice job and I don't want to do it. So I think, oh, if I just leave it, someone else will do it. I don't want to do that job. But sometimes it's because I don't think I have the skills for the job, or I'm up to the task, or I couldn't possibly do that. I don't know what I'm doing. That needs someone more skilled than me. So there might be a variety of reasons why we don't do jobs when we see them. So what happens when the disciples pray for workers for the harvest? They pray for workers for this ripe harvest, and what happens? Jesus sends the disciples themselves. He sends them out in his name and with his power to bring transformation to lives, to bring that hope and that healing and that meaning and that purpose and that freedom and that life and that light and that joy and that peace that comes with God's kingdom. You want more workers to go and tell people these things? Well, I'm sending you to go and do that. Baptism is about choosing to follow Jesus, about admitting our need, just like the crowd, they were helpless. They were in need of what Jesus had to say. Admitting our need and receiving all the promises of what God has to offer us through Jesus' birth and his life and his death and his resurrection and his ascension. I don't know if any of you are watching the World Cup. Anyone watching any of the World Cup? I've seen a few little nods. So I'm not particularly into football, but I'm going to try a football illustration. You can tell me afterwards if it doesn't work. Following Jesus, it's not just about having Jesus as the coach on the sidelines, but allowing him to be the captain of our team. So choosing to follow Jesus is not just about kind of reading a book about Jesus being like the coach on the sidelines, but choosing to have Jesus as the captain of our team. And when parents and godparents speak for a child, they're saying that they want Jesus to be the captain of their child's team. And the good news is that when Jesus is the captain of our team, we can always have hope. We can live lives of hope and freedom because we know we're on the winning team. When Jesus is the captain, we know we're on the winning team. We know how the game ultimately ends. Jesus has defeated death, which is the most final thing there is. So it's the difference between, I'd say, watching a football match live, where you're like at the edge of your seat every time the ball goes somewhere, and watching it on replay, where you know what the score is, you know how it ends, and so you're perhaps not quite so on the edge of your seat because you know what happens. That's the difference living as a Christian makes. We know how the game ends, and so we don't need to be quite as tossed and turned by all the things that life throws at us. Christians are people who already know the final result, and it changes how we live. As we receive and respond to Jesus' love for us, we overflow with the good news of the kingdom of God, as his power is at work within us. And the work Jesus gives his disciples to do, it's his work. It's not some independent new project. It's his work, a continuation of what he's been doing. And they're to do it in his name and by his power. So going out and sharing the good news of the kingdom is sharing what we've received from God and offering to others what we've been given. So I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what your questions are, what's going on for you in life, what you're hungry for. But I do know that Jesus longs to meet with each one of us, to bring the kingdom of God near, to heal and to cleanse. We were thinking a little bit about that when I was talking about the water. However you're feeling, whatever's on your mind, I really would encourage you to be open to Jesus. Because Jesus is always more ready to give than we are to receive. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus for the first time this morning, or yes again after a long time, please do speak to me. I'd love to pray with you. Back to that verse we started with, the harvest is plentiful. If you're feeling like, actually, I'm ready to respond to Jesus, please do speak to me. I'd love to pray with you. So that's the encouragement, to be open to the good news of God's kingdom. The challenge for those of us who would already call ourselves followers of Jesus is to freely offer to others what we ourselves have received. Sometimes it's more comfortable to pray for other people to do the work than to consider that we ourselves may be the answer to the prayer that we're praying. Sometimes it's just that bit easier to be that, oh, I'm praying that someone would, there'd be someone that'd be willing to take the responsibility for the chairs at church. And just to keep praying that, when God might be asking us to take on that job. I've just made that up, but you get what I'm trying to say. In Romans, which is a letter in the New Testament of the Bible, the Apostle Paul, who we've been hearing about in our sermons on Acts, if you've been here over the past weeks, asks, how can someone possibly turn to Jesus if they've not heard about Jesus? And how can they hear about Jesus if someone's not preached to them? And how can someone preach to them without being sent to do that task? And he concludes with a quote from the prophet Isaiah. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So Jesus is good news. So if you're here this morning and you're not sure that Jesus is good news, I'd love to chat more with you about that. If you're here this morning and you know that Jesus is good news, go and live it so that other people can also share in that good news. Let's pray. Loving God, in a world where there is so much bad news, help us to be good news people living hopeful lives through the power of Jesus at work in us. Amen. Amen.